All right, let's get into this weekend's box office. So, Clayton, I'm going to start with tip of the cap to you, because I went low on Kung Fu Panda.
Well, when you go low.
Yeah.
I go high.
You go high.
So let me plow.
We haven't even got to the plow. Maybe the latest plow in the history of an episode of the BO Boys. We're plowing at 30 minutes in. But yeah. Can you give us a plow for the box office weekend of Friday, March 8th, 2024?
Number one, Kung Fu Panda 4, $58.3 million in its first weekend. Number two, Dune Part 2, $46 million, down only 44%, added three theaters. It's at $157 million in its second weekend of release. Number two, Imaginary made $10 million in its first weekend. Number four, another newbie, Cabrini, starring Austin
Gallego.
Austin, who we saw this weekend.
Yep.
More handsome in real life, can we say? More star power in real life, I'll say.
It's that thing with movie stars where you see them on the screen and it's breathtaking, and then you meet them in real life and you just realize
now I get
movie
it.
Stars are aliens compared to human beings like us. And that's the effect that Austin had when we met him in real life this week.
Absolutely. Yep. 7.5 in its opening weekend. And number five, a movie you saw an hour of, I think, right? Yes. Bob Marley, One Love, $4 million.
Yeah.
$4 million, down 45%. It hemorrhaged 626 theaters. It's at 89.3. in its fourth weekend of release.
Oh, what a hit.
That's a big hit. I mean, the top five is really all we have to talk about.
Yeah. And we don't need to go into Madam Web at number seven.
Kung Fu Panda 4, second biggest opening of the entire franchise.
This is incredible.
The first one opened to 60.
Yeah.
And the second one opened to 47. Third one opened to 41. And this fourth one opened to 58. 0.3.
This is amazing. Clayton, this is amazing. You went high. No one went high enough. You didn't go high enough.
We said 50. We said we didn't see 50.
This thing almost hit 60. I mean, we're here on a Sunday night. When the Monday actuals come in, maybe
could be 60.
That's the 60. I mean, this is unreal.
So even though I didn't get the number right.
Yeah, you got the sentiment.
I got the sentiment. Yeah. And I was correct. I'm vindicated.
Yes.
Because the Jack Black effect is real. The rise in his Q score among children really played a huge part in this, I believe. And I think that is the main reason this did as well as it did. The second reason A, 1A and 1B, I would say.
Okay.
1B is the rats eating their cheese. They had not had any cheese since migration.
Yeah.
Right.
They were so hungry. They were gnawing on their own tails for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the thing with Jack Black is when the first Kung Fu Panda, fuck it, it's raw feed, I'm drunk, came out, you know, Jack Black had year one, Gulliver's Travels, the big year. I mean, these things were terrible bombs for him, right? Then he had Goosebumps, which kind of ran him back a little bit. Well-liked movie, wasn't a huge hit, but then Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Huge hit, he was great in it.
And then now, obviously, coming off of Mario, one of the biggest. And the thing about that is that we always say voice acting doesn't matter, but he was the face of that promotion because he sang the Peaches song. Yeah. He put a video out on YouTube with him physically in real life playing that song. He would play that song on buses and at, you know, subway stations. This guy was out there promoting that song.
And I just want to stop you on one thing. Great Oscars tonight, incredible telecast, best in a long time. The one misstep, and this isn't on the producers because it's just he didn't get nominated. The Peaches song from Super Mario Brothers absolutely should have been nominated in best song. You know, we didn't need the Diane Warren song and her nominating. So it's
cruel.
It's cruel. It's like, put in a Benning. It's cruel to keep nominating Diane Warren.
It's cruelty.
And the Diane Warren song from Flamin' Hot Cheetos, we both said it. The one saving grace of that performance would have been if they shot Cheeto dust onto the crowd.
Did not happen.
They didn't do that.
Missed opportunity.
If the Peaches song with Jack Black performing it at a piano had been performed on the same night that the I'm Just Ken, Ryan Gosling, we didn't even mention it.
Great performance.
That would have been such a, that would have taken this Oscars to Billy Crystal level. Not the Jack Palance doing one-arm push-ups, never beaten that. But it would have been in that tier right under that if they had gotten Jack Black to do the Peaches song. They should have nominated him for the Oscar. That was a big failing there. But it is so real, the Jack Black bump for this movie.
Absolutely.
He is as big a star as he's ever been.
Good for him, too.
You know, this is box office mountain for Jack Black this year.
Yeah, he's a huge kid star.
Yeah.
And so
bigger than KG, bigger than Rage Cage,
bigger than Rage Cage. Absolutely. But they did a Hit Me Baby One More Time music video, them on the red carpet with some of the stars of the movie. That was a video that came out last week. Them just goofing around on the red carpet premiere and shot a video. Baby and Rage Cage doing their thing. Tenacious D.
What a good guy.
Yeah. Friends.
Would either of us ever be as magnanimous to the other one if one of us became a huge star and the other didn't? I mean, we'll say yes now, but in real life, probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
JD is just so magnanimous to his old friend.
Yes.
Very old.
Let's talk demos real fast. So male skewing, 58%, 67% falling between the ages of 13 and 24. 18 to 24-year-olds made up 48% of the viewers. Latinos and Hispanics accounted for 44% of the sales, followed by Caucasians, 22%, Asian, 18%, and Black, 11%.
Wow. Wow.
Right? So, I mean, this movie is, I mean, 58. It's so big.
It's so big. It's so big. I mean, the thing is, you don't see a fourth movie in a series that doesn't have a big added element, because a lot of the talk with the series was they lost a lot of cast members who had been in the previous three movies.
Yeah.
You know, so
which lowered the budget.
Lowered the budget, but it did make it feel, there was a lot of talk of, is this movie going to be a
Hotel Transylvania 4 situation?
Yeah, because I mean, I'm looking at the names: Angelina Jolie, Seth Rogen, David Cross. That's not going to mean anything, but Jackie Chan, Lucy Liu. Other than David Cross, those are a bunch of people who mean something to the box office in different ways. They all were in the first three, not in the fourth one. And you would have thought that meant something, but Jack Black's stardom is just so much bigger than losing any of these other cast members.
Yeah.
And listen, they brought in Awkwafina and this was a hit. So
good for Awkwafina.
Good for Awkwafina, you know. But he is just at the top of his box office game right now. And, you know, if you're The Rock and you're trying to figure out the next phase of your career and get back on track, Jumanji 3.
Oh.
You pay Jack Black and Kevin Hart and Danny DeVito and all, whatever they need to get this in pre-production ASAP.
Yeah.
Like, get Jack Black on the set of Jumanji 3 immediately. You know, once he is done whipping Cody's ass at WrestleMania, that should be The Rock's entire focus. Maybe he's got to do both.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be calling Jack Black backstage at WrestleMania, try and get him into Jumanji 3. You got, coming off of Kung Fu Panda, that is, has to be The Rock's focus right now.
Yeah. If he's smart, he'll do it.
So anything else on this Kung Fu Panda? I mean, it's
basically I think
Jack Black and the rats needed their cheese.
Yeah, and I think the story will be more how it holds, how it legs. And I think for right now, that's a good – that's the information we have about Kung Fu Panda for at the moment. I think another big story, I mean, is this Dune hold.
This Dune hold is excellent. It's the best case scenario.
Yeah, so it – opened a little bit higher, a scooch higher than Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
It dropped only 1% worse than Oppenheimer, right? Because wait, I'll just double check this because I want to make sure I get this right. It's so close. Yeah. Right now it's 44%.
Right.
Now this obviously can change, but Oppenheimer dropped 43%, right?
And remember, so that's a summer weekend.
That's a summer. Absolutely. It's a summer weekend. Kids are out of school, right? This is not summer. And the fact that this thing dropped only 44%.
And it was going, this is Oscar weekend. So like there's, you know, the people who want to go see Dune 2 for the artistic value or the, you know, the those people are on Sunday, they're just getting ready for the Oscars all day. Mm-hmm. So having this great hold for a movie like this on Oscar weekend, because Dune 2 is going to be Oppenheimer at the Oscars next year. Yeah. And the fact that people went to see it in this number on Oscar weekend is another feather in his cap.
Yeah. John Mulaney's going to be making spice jokes next year. Yeah. He's going to come out with blue contacts in next year. And so,
does John Mulaney, and listen, he's not Billy Crystal, but does he come on stage riding a sandworm to open the next year's Academy
Awards? He should.
If the BO boys were creative consultants on that Oscar,
and
it should be.
We should be.
That would be the first thing is let's build a giant sandworm because Mulaney's riding it on.
You put him in the movie where that great scene where Chalamet's character gets that huge sandworm and is riding it.
Yeah.
That's Mulaney cracking wise, trying to hold onto the sandworm.
Yeah.
And then you cut from that on the screen to the sandworm coming off the side of the stage and he falls off of it and he's like, I'm here.
Yeah.
That is what should happen.
Yeah.
Now,
and then he starts wiping his nose because it's just sand.
Yeah. And then it's spice. His eyes are blue. And then you look and you see his eyes are blue and he was like, oh no, back to rehab.
Yeah.
And people will just fall in love.
It. We'll pitch in the room and he'll be like, and I'm like, just do it. I think that's how you got to open next year's Oscars is Mulaney riding the sandworm. This hold is incredible. It shows, it confirms that people love this movie and this is a cultural event.
Yeah.
And listen, Chalamet
is going to have back to back over $200 million domestic films.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So Oppenheimer, in the end, domestically got to $329 million.
Yeah, I don't see that here.
It just can't because Oppenheimer came out in the summer
and
was riding Barbie.
Thank you.
You know, Oppenheimer rode Barbie the way that Mulaney should ride a sandworm to start the Oscars next year.
Great.
And Dune 2 does not have a Barbie to ride. Mm-hmm. It's doing it on its own.
Yeah.
It's doing it on its own. And
I like it.
Yeah. Listen, let's write all the stuff now, way in advance of next year's Oscars. So that way we barely even have to show up. Yeah. We just have to check.
I have a friend of a friend who knows Carol Leifer. So we'll just try to shove it in her mailbox at some point.
Yeah. So I don't think the Oppenheimer 329, even though they are pacing well together right now, is feasible, but we're looking, I think, at Dune 2 being able to, I think, $250 million makes sense, and $300 million is a possibility. Like, that feels like now that's starting to be the range of what Dune 2 could do, is that $250 to $300 range.
Yeah.
And that's spectacular, and again, sets it up to be the Oscar movie of next year, to be next year's Oppenheimer at the Oscars.
Yeah.
So, great hold. Chalamet is just giant movie star at this point.
And Zendaya was at the Oscars. Yep. Looks spectacular.
Presented, as you pointed out, presented solo.
Yes.
Which is such a trust in a stardom.
Yes.
To have someone go out there solo.
Solo.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Michael Keaton out there with Catherine O'Hara, and we love her and we love him, but he's a guy who could go solo.
He could go solo, but they were
doing Beetlejuice too. But yeah.
Here,
how many times did you say it?
Just twice.
Okay, good.
Beetlejuice Smart. Coming out this September.
Okay, thank you.
Which more and more feels like that's going to be a huge.
Was it ever in question? It's got Jenna
Ortega. Well, I think there was. Listen, you could always look at a movie like that, unless Tim Burton has not been on his game for a while, even box office wise. And you could definitely look at that as you're doing the wrong kind of nostalgia and the star power isn't there, and this could go horribly wrong. But I think as we start to feel the buzz for it, mm-hmm. that movie's gonna be gigantic.
Yep, agreed.
And I think it will actually be good.
Yes.
You know, you see Keaton tonight, the guy's still got his fastball. And it does.
Catherine's great. Yeah.
Fastball.
Yeah.
And I think that movie's going to be just, it's in the Warner Brothers early September it slot. And that's going to be a huge movie.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk imaginary.
Okay.
10 million right now. That's an estimate. It's going to go lower on Monday. Nobody like this movie, cares about this movie. This movie's DOA.
It's DOA, but here's what I'll say. $10 million for this movie that got bad reviews, no one likes, no star power, no real hook to it. You know, it was not about an imaginary friend. It's about a bear that...
Chauncey.
It should have been called Chauncey. Mm-hmm. Chauncey has no star power. We've said that Chauncey's, you know, crocodile,
yeah.
Outside the gates of Hollywood, never coming back in. But it just goes to show, as Bread of the New Flesh always says, horror always wins, that even a movie like this, a just piece of trash, starless, premiseless movie, by virtue of just saying it's horror, could still get to $10 million opening weekend.
Yeah.
It is just... horror is such a slam dunk at the box office where if something is great, it's going to overperform. You know, Megan is going to do 40 million opening weekend.
Yeah.
And if something is worthless, like imaginary, it could still make $10 million if you air just enough commercials for it.
Yeah. And I think, like we said, the teens need a place to go,
yeah,
to be in a dark room
and do whatever.
Thank you. You're being a little bit more modest this week, which I appreciate. Because the coarsening of society is very...
Well, let's take care of that.
Oh, no. So let's talk a little bit about imaginary demos. Skewed women.
Wow.
53%. So not huge.
Yeah.
62% between 18 and 34. Makes sense.
Makes sense.
Among those 18 to 24-year-olds, represented 32%. With an additional 20%. For the 13 to 17 age group, which
PG-13
is 13
horror.
Yep. In terms of diversity, 38% Latino Hispanic, 35% Caucasian, 17% Black, and 6% Asian.
Yep. Everyone goes see horror movies. That's yes, just the way it is.
Absolutely. So that's that.
Yeah, that is that. Chauncey is no Freddy Fazbear, though I think this 10 million is partly thanks to a Freddy Fazbear who just were like, bear horror is going to get some amount of it.
Yeah,
Cocaine Bear, you know?
Cocaine Bear seems so far in the rear view, but I get it. Bear horror is hot right now.
Yeah.
The way doll horror was hot for a while there.
Yeah, and I think it's still hot once the next doll horror comes out. I
mean, Cabrini.
Let's talk about it. We met the star this weekend.
Yeah. Directed by the same guy who did Sound of Freedom.
Yeah. I didn't even really register that. We talked a lot about it being an Angel Studios release, but I didn't really register that it was the same director. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a very different genre.
Yeah.
You know, Sound of Freedom was a straight-up action movie, and this was a religious biopic. Mm-hmm. And Angel Studios just knows how to market stuff.
Yeah.
You know, this didn't have a big star in it at all. I want to read something from our Substack. So, of course, Wannabe-O Junior Intern Jack has brought back the Substack. He's doing amazing work every week writing his previews and his recaps. And here is a line from his write-up on Cabrini's opening weekend. He says, on a final note, while I am sure Christiana Delania was excellent as the lead, casting a bigger female star in the role could have potentially added a couple extra million dollars to its weekend total. Granted, however, there are not many Italian actresses who have broken out in Hollywood, with the biggest being Monica Bellucci, who is 59 years old. So Jack points out an issue in Hollywood, which is there have not been many Italian actresses who have been turned into stars.
Okay.
So, you know, it's been a while since we've had an Isabella Rossellini.
Yes.
And then, as you point out, a Monica Bellucci. So we've got our Italian-Americans, you know. But even then, it's like Marissa Tomei you couldn't cast her as, you know, the young Cabrini biopic. So it's a kind of a wake-up call. Maybe this Christiana Del Anya, this is what you need to create that star. You cast an unknown in Cabrini, and hopefully, you know, she becomes a star out of this. Yeah. But guess do a better job, Hollywood, according to junior intern Jack, of turning these Italian-born actresses into movie stars.
Yeah. I mean, this was definitely an older play. We knew it was going to be 55%. I mean, sorry, 55 plus 49%. So that's huge for the oldsters. Caucasians, 65%.
That's very high.
Followed by Latino and Hispanic, 21%. Asian, 6%. Black, 4%. And other, 5%. Okay, what percentage do you think were Italian Americans?
Of that 65%? I would say it's, could it be 40% of the 65%? Does that feel
and
right?
And then 25% were non-Italian.
Were non-Italian Americans in that Caucasian demo. That feels about what that would be. Yeah.
Now, for a movie like this, do you think that it would have made more sense to just divide that? So that you could know how many actual Italians went to see this movie?
Oh, if you would have pulled them out of Caucasian.
Pulled them out of Caucasian.
You
didn't
know. For you, that's what you would have wanted to see.
Just for future film Italian filmmakers to know.
Okay, so maybe we need to reach out to the companies that track this, and you could suggest that to them.
That maybe you pull out Italians from that Caucasian, just to know, because this is a very Italian-skewing film. Right. And so you want to know, did it really hit that main demo, which is what you were trying to aim for?
I'll look for an email that you could, you know, address that you could send that to to suggest that idea.
And since you already did it once, so why not just do it?
Just keep doing
Just keep doing it. Yeah.
It's something to consider.
Okay.
It's the Italian-American demo and split that out of the Caucasian
just
demo.
For better tracking per and better, yeah, more accurate information.
So this was an overperform for sure. This Cabrini opening to what it did is, you know, this was tracking at like 5 or 6, right?
Yeah. I mean,
you know, this is not Sound of Freedom.
Yeah.
But this was an overperform.
Yeah.
So
it did better than The Shift and After Death, but with the 94% positive on Post Track and the A Cinema Score and the high Rotten Tomatoes, you would hope that this would do better.
Well, here's the thing. I'm looking up right now, and I obviously should know this off the top of my head, so I apologize to you know, to my Catholic upbringing for not knowing this, but Easter is in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, in 3 weeks. It's 3 weeks from now. Sunday, March 31st is Easter. Could Cabrini get itself to Easter to really eat up some Easter eggs at the box office in 3 weeks?
It's so long to stay in theaters. It's so long. It's already only at 2,840 locations.
And it's got to get through a weekend where Ghostbusters, Frozen Ghostbusters opens, and then the Godzilla X Kong collab. So that's tough. It's almost a little surprising they didn't wait a few more weeks and make sure it's there on Easter. But I guess the idea is, people celebrate Easter are going to be celebrating Easter on Easter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So,
but still, maybe the weekend before or
Monday weekend.
Yeah.
But you know what? I still say this is a big feather in the cap of wannabe oh boy Austin Gallego, who was featured, as he put it, featured extra. I would say co-star.
Yeah, co-star. Cabrini,
and great job, Austin.
Talk about young Italian stars.
Possibly, we don't know.
Yeah, is he?
We don't know. You're always wanting to ask that question. Who's Italian?
Well, I just met him, so I didn't want to immediately ask him if he's Italian or not.
But you asked me pretty early into when we met.
Yeah, I sort of knew.
Yeah. So big feather in his cap. And listen, maybe a big feather in the cap of the young actress who played Cabrini, Christiana Del Anya, star of the movie. Yeah. So there you go. And listen, biopic number 5, Bob Marley. It's doing great. We mentioned it. You know, this is going to pass. It's going to make more money than Rocket Man.
Yeah.
So huge for the Bob Marley IP. Maybe you get a sequel, Bob Marley to Love.
He is definitely, as the title of his greatest hit says, legend. He's a legend.
He is a legend. Yeah.
If we didn't know before, we know now.
And, you know, we, in the months leading up to Bob Marley One Love, we were talking, are those posters still up in the dorm room? You know, is Bob Marley still up there next to Taxi Driver, you know, as your dorm room poster? Yeah. And whether it is or not, and I think this kind of shows it probably was, I think there's going to be a lot more of them next semester at the dorm.
Now, Pat, are we at an age where we cannot ask for pictures of dorm rooms? That's probably not something we can ask for.
We definitely can't on this show say co-eds take pictures in your dorm rooms. We definitely, I think, like the
well, in and of, we want pictures of the dorm rooms,
of the walls and the doors.
Yes,
I think that's what
we want a picture of the posters in your dorm room. I would say let's make sure we say of your dorm room, because if you say take a picture in your dorm room, that's assuming that person's going to be in the photo.
We don't want people. We don't want faces. We don't want other body parts. We just
want posters of
posters on doors, and we want it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and preferably Bob Marley posters.
Well, that, the main things
we want a rundown of your posters. So just take a picture that's panoramic enough of your dorm room.
Yeah.
That will show the posters.
Yes, we want to know. And I,
because it could be a lot of Taylor Swift. It could be a lot of Ariana Grande. It could be a lot of.
There's going to be a lot of Taylor Swift. Well, these are not high school bedrooms. These are college dorm rooms.
Definitely not high school bedrooms. Not high school bedrooms. Jesus,
what I'm saying,
Pat,
in terms of some of the things you listed, I think those are feel more like high school bedroom posters. College dorm rooms, that's where you're going to get your Bob Marleys. I think Taylor Swift will be there for sure.
Okay.
But I think you're going to get a lot more Bob Marley dorm room posters the next couple of semesters because of the One Love box office performance.
Yeah. So you feel comfortable asking for pictures of dorm rooms?
Of doors and of walls.
Walls.
In these
dorm rooms. In dorm rooms.
Yes.
Great.
Clayton, I got nothing left. I mean, do you have anything else to say?
There can't be.
I mean, there's, of course, Oscars, who will win.
Yeah.
But other than that,
nothing. Except for, until next time, we'll smell you at the box office. Nailed it.